just give God some thanks for a word? Thank you to both of you for leading us in such amazing worship this morning. It was great to hear some of those old songs again, wasn't it? Wonderful. It was great to be bringing God's word to you here at Mossvale this morning. So before we come around God's word, let's just steady our hearts just now in prayer. Father, we thank you that none can compare to you. We thank you for your great love. There is none like you. And we ask you, Jesus, to come and take your place on the throne right now. We welcome your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the freedom in which we have to come and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And as we open up your word just now, Almighty God, may all the glory be yours now and forever. Amen. Amen. So let me take you back this morning to our first sermon of the year, the message that Pastor Hugh brought to us on the subject of unity. That was our first sermon of 2020. And we heard that Sunday, as it is written in the book of Ephesians, that we are to make every effort to keep ourselves united in the Spirit, binding ourselves together with peace. So, after pondering these words, I hope you ponder the sermon after the sermon has been delivered. So I was pondering these words, and it was revealed to me once again that there is a battle going on out there. There is, and there is a real enemy. An enemy who will seek to attempt to undermine us, to create division, disrupt our unity, and derail us. And this morning, I want us to consider one way in which the enemy will attempt to convince us, as individuals, as a church, that unity is not possible. And that is through living with offence. This morning, church, we are going to look at the dangers of living offended and how we can truly live free from that. That there is healing in this place today from offence. And Pastor Hugh has already mentioned that just in a couple of weeks' time, on the 23rd of February, if you've got your diaries with you, we are having a healing service right here at Mossvale Community Church. Now that service is not just for us here at Mossvale, but if you know of someone that would benefit from that service, we encourage you to bring them along. It won't be the first time that a friend or a few friends have brought their friends along to be healed by Jesus. Only we're not going to cut a hole in the ceiling. No, we're not. We're just going to open up the doors of this church and we're just saying, come and be healed by Jesus. So if you want to come along, please come along and bring your friends with you. So who here this morning, I wonder, needs to be healed from the pain that has been caused by offence? We live in a world today where people are easily offended. In fact, even sharing this message this morning, somebody in here may be offended. Just look at the world that we live in. This social media obsessed culture, this open forum where anyone can say whatever they like, hiding behind laptop screens. I think the most recent name for that is keyboard warriors or social internet trolls. It's harsh out there. It really is. People can be easily offended. Full-scale wars break out over the internet. However, if we be perfectly honest, it's not just restricted to that environment. Perhaps you're here in church this morning and you've been offended. Maybe you're here in church this morning and that offence is weighing heavy on your heart. Someone has hurt you, a brother or a sister, a work colleague, a family friend, someone in church. Jesus, whilst teaching on sin, actually told us that this would happen. In the book of Luke, when you read in the King James, he says this: it is impossible that no offences should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Amen. Well, church, I wonder if you've ever witnessed the conversation between two people that goes like this. One says to the other, oh, no offence. To which the other replies, sometimes with their hands in the air, oh, none taken. None taken. That's what we're looking at this morning. What are we saying here when we say none taken? Well, we're simply saying, I'm not going to take offence. I choose not to be offended. I'm not going to take this to heart. I'm not going to allow this to take hold. What we're simply saying is, I forgive you. And it made me think of the world in which we live in today, where people are easily offended. Should we then, as Christ followers, should we do the same? Is it justified? However, we have been called to be set apart, to be different. We don't need to conform to the pattern of this world. No, we can choose. Yes, we can choose. Instead to say, none taken. You see, I believe that the Lord wants us as Christ followers to live beyond offence, free from offence. I believe that the Lord wants to heal someone's heart today that has been troubled with holding on to offence. But that therefore means choosing his way and not the worldly way. Now, church, hear me. I know this is not easy, especially if someone has hurt you and wronged you. It is painful. And this morning, I am not excusing that pain or belittling anyone's pain this morning. But what we are looking at this morning is, how do we deal with that pain? How do we overcome it? Do we allow that which hurt us to capture our thought life, to poison our judgment and hold our hearts captive for the rest of our lives? Or is there? That's the question we're asking. Is there another way? For you see, living with offence, as Jesus said earlier in Luke, it's like having a heavy weight upon your heart, constantly living offended, constantly believing that everyone is against you, that everyone wishes you harm or dislikes you. This can cause us to be hostile, oversensitive, prickly. You may find that you struggle in relationships, struggle to trust. But Jesus, he came so that we may be free. Galatians 5, one of my favourite verses, says that Christ died for us so that we may be free, so that we may find freedom. So living with offence weighing heavy on your heart, it's not living free, because offence holds us captive. The word offence comes from the Greek word skandalon, which means to noose, to trap, to snare. So what are we saying then? Well, we're saying that if we choose to allow offence to control our minds, weigh heavy on our hearts, it will become an obstacle. It will become a stumbling block, a blockage, a stronghold. The writer of Hebrews talks about another raw emotion. That raw emotion is bitterness. I've preached on that here before. And the writer says that we must pursue peace with all men. We heard that in Ephesians. It says that we must pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Be careful that no one falls short of the grace of God, so that no root of bitterness will spring up and defile many. Living with offence on your heart allows other raw emotions to enter, and such as bitterness. And depending on what you feed that with, it will grow and it will grow and it will spread like a poisonous weed. not only affects you, but it impacts your relationship with others and ultimately with God the Father. Proverbs 18 verse 19 warns us of the power that offence can yield. It says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like gates locked with bars. Wow! It's easier to conquer a city than to reconcile someone that has been offended. It's like a gate that is locked with iron bars. Church, this is a mighty stronghold, and we need to be set free from that. Living with offence in your heart only leads to bitterness, anger, rage, hostility, and at the root of all of it is unforgiveness. However, there is good news. Amen. I'll say it again. There is good news. Amen. That we have the power, amen, over strongholds to demolish them. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We tear down arguments and every presumption that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. So what does that mean? What that means then, if you are in Christ, which means that you have given your whole heart to Jesus Christ, then the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave lives in you. And it is that same Spirit that gives you power and authority over that stronghold to say, no, I will not be controlled by this. No, I will not be governed by offence. No, you will not have my mind, and you will not weigh down in my heart, because I take captive that stronghold in the name of Jesus. So before we look at how we can fully overcome this stronghold, I want you to spend a little time this morning just looking at one woman in Scripture from the New Testament. This woman was so consumed by offence that it led to deadly sin. Because that's what eventually happens when we don't let it go. So if you turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14, verse 3 to 11. Magdalene put it up on the screen for us. But before we do, let's just familiarise ourselves of who we're going to talk about. So John the Baptist, as we know, was a prophet. We also know that he was a relative of Jesus. Remember that wonderful story, one of my favourites, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, she finds out she's expecting and she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. But Elizabeth is having her own miracle. She's been waiting for a child for so long, and now the Lord has given her a child. And these two pregnant women come together, and the baby inside of Elizabeth leaps with joy because it's in the presence of the baby Jesus, which is inside Mary. So that's how we know that these two fellas are actually relatives. So John the Baptist, as we know, is a prophet. And he was preparing the way for the Lord. That was his calling. That was his mission. And he'd been baptizing folk and he'd been spreading the word of God. Great guy. And he was calling people to repent. Now at this time, he publicly addressed Herod Antipas. John criticized his marriage to Herodias. Herodias was not only his niece, but was his brother Philip's wife. And Philip was not dead. So John objected to this marriage. He said it was unlawful under Mosaic law, and he criticized them and he called them to repent. That was his message. Repent and be baptized. In church, it's the same message today. Nothing has changed. Repent and be baptized. And this morning you can choose to be offended by that truth, or you can choose to see it as a way that's going to lead to your beautiful freedom. So nothing has changed. Repent and be baptized. So let's go to the story now. Matthew chapter 14, verse 3 to 11. For Herod had arrested and imprisoned John as a favor to his wife Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother Philip. John had been telling Herod, "It's against God's law for you to marry her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of a riot because all of the people believed John was a prophet. But at a birthday party for Herod, Herodias' daughter performed a dance that greatly pleased him. So he promised with a vow to give her anything she wanted. At her mother's urging, the girl said, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a tree." Then the king regretted what he had said because of the vow he had made in front of his guests. He issued the necessary orders. So John was beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it, and then they went and they told Jesus all that had happened. May God bless the reading. So Herod, on behalf of his wife, had John the Baptist put in prison. He didn't have him killed at this point because the passage says he feared an uprising. I wonder if there's another reason though. And actually Mark chapter 6 verse 20 tells us that Herod Antipas actually quite liked listening to John the Baptist. So it says, Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to do so because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. So he may not have agreed with John's teaching, but he was drawn to John. There was something about what John was saying that, you know, pricked up his attention. So maybe he was thinking, well, if I just throw John in jail, that might satisfy my wife's grudge. That she may go over her offence if I just put him behind bars. However, if we go back to where we started, we all have a choice to make. We can choose to say, I'm going to let it go, none taken, or we can choose to take on that offence. And as I said, it'll take root. And there are consequences to that though. The consequences are you can't let go. You continue to dwell and retell the same hurtful story over and over again. You can't get free from it. The memory of it haunts you. It follows you around. That's what happens when we choose to carry it. And then there's always the temptation lurking to seek revenge. And Satan will not be too far away if you want to go down that route, trying to convince you, yeah, you're right. Don't let them away with that. What they did to you, what they said to you, you're just letting them off scot-free. You know, Satan's been playing that game since the beginning. So Herodias then, obviously not content with John the Baptist just being imprisoned. She wanted to seek revenge. So what does she do? She involves her daughter. She manipulates the situation. Her offence, well, it's now turning to manipulation, to scheming, to plotting. She uses her daughter to dance. She's using seduction and temptation to get what she really wants, which is to be free from this pain, to truly deal with offence that is on her heart. So often, when we're offended, instead of letting go, we dwell and retell the story, but yeah, we also enlist the help of others. If we get them to agree with us, yeah, you're right, that's right, you tell them, you sort them out, you're in the right. It just gives us free rein just to continue to carry that offence. That's not letting go though. That's just continuing to feed a poisonous root. The Bible tells us that there is another way. Jesus calls us to turn the other cheek and allow God to avenge. Two verses for you in relation to this. Romans 12 verse 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I'll pay back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. He will avenge you. But Herodias knew exactly what she was doing when she involved Salome, her daughter. She chose instead to seek revenge, instead of saying, none taken. Now let's just think about this for a moment. Salome, her daughter, she could have asked for anything, couldn't she? She was offered a reward for her dance. She could have asked for fine gowns, to visit a distant land. She could have asked for a palace. She could have asked for money to feed the poor. But it was at her mother's request and manipulation that she asked for the head of John the Baptist. Now, isn't it interesting? The passage tells us that Herod regretted that immediately. Picture it. She's just danced for Herod. She walks over to him. He tells her, right, what would you like? She could have anything she wants. And she says, okay, thank you, Master. I will now have the head of John the Baptist. He knows, doesn't he? He knows immediately. That's not her desire. That's not what she wants. He knows deep down inside that this is Herodias. He knows that this is manipulation. But you see, Herod couldn't go back on it now, could he? For he was the son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the one that had the baby boys killed in the search for baby Jesus. He was not about to lose face by denying this request. Whether he liked John's teaching or not, whether he knew that this was manipulation that was behind it or not, he couldn't let go of his hard man image. So let's look at how living with offence on her heart led to the murder of John the Baptist. Well, Herodias had a choice. She had a choice to let go of the hurt. She could have prayed at any time, Lord, heal me. Lord, save me. Lord, what they're saying about me, it hurts, it stings. If you've ever had anyone say anything not nice about you, it hurts, it stings. But we can choose to take offence, or we could choose to get on our knees and say, Lord, help me. Help me to forgive. Forgive me, help me to forgive them. But instead of doing that, John the Baptist encouraged them to do that. She allowed it to take root and fester, and it led to further sin. You know, not much is known thereafter about Herodias. However, it's quite commonly known that her and her husband were exiled for further attempts at manipulation and scheming. So it's safe to say that nothing changed for Herodias. It's safe to say that she didn't repent as John encouraged her. And that obviously led to further pain. So what do we do? How do we live free from the burden and pain of offence? Do we want to choose as a church another way? Can we say as a church and as individuals, no to offence, none taken? Well, over the last couple of weeks and the last month, Pastor Hugh has been sharing with us about this precious gift that the Lord gives freely, that all we need to do is ask for it, and that is wisdom. It is wisdom. Pastor Hugh said we don't have to attach ourselves to earthly wisdom, but that our wisdom is Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook offence. So we can choose another way. We can look to God for wisdom, which brings us patience, which will save us from carrying the heavy weight that is caused by offence and sin. We have heard over the last month that the way we need to turn, or I think Pastor Hugh said one, is to the cross. And it's to the cross this morning where we will return for our answer as to how to be grateful. So let's return to the cross then as we close. The cross, where we as believers, as children of God, set apart to be different, can learn how to respond differently. How to choose his way over a worldly way. How to choose the steps that will lead to our freedom. So we go back to Golgotha. We go back to the place of the skull. We reflect on Jesus as he made his walk to the cross, as he carried his own cross, as he then hung on a cross, he who was without sin, with two criminals on either side, surrounded by people who had hurt him, who had whipped him, who had pierced him, who had hurled insults at him. And maybe you're here this morning and you know what that feels like to be hurt by someone. Someone has done you wrong, perhaps spoken words over your life that were hurtful, lied about you. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've been physically hurt, sexually abused. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've been betrayed. Jesus wants you to know this morning that there is freedom from that pain. He suffered on that cross so that you no longer have to suffer, so that you no longer have to carry the heavy weight of that pain and of that shame and of that suffering and of that offence, because there is another way. In that moment, Jesus utters one of the most incredible prayers that you'll ever hear. We studied the prayers of Jesus at Abide last year, and this was one of the prayers we looked at. Jesus cries out as he hangs on that cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He could have prayed for anything. He could have prayed for himself. He could have prayed for the pain that he was feeling in his body. He could have said, "God, send out the fire on these people. God, deal with them." But he didn't. Instead, he chose forgiveness. Church, Jesus died so that we may be free. Free from the bondage of sin. Free from offence. And no one understands the pain of betrayal like Jesus Christ. Jesus was betrayed by his nearest and dearest. Judas sold him out. Peter denied him three times. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, they pointed the finger at him, they gossiped about him, they tricked him. But it was for those men and for us today that he took to a cross and he died. So that we may be forgiven. So that we may choose another way. Father, forgive. The Greek word there is alphemi, which means to send away, to let go, to give up a debt. The word was used in legal documents at the time, probably written on papyrus. It describes the releasing of a person from an office, or the severing of a marriage. It's the cancelling out of a debt. It's the same language that Jesus uses in the prayer that he taught the disciples, the prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. That verb, alphemy, was used again in that prayer in relation to debt. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He is calling us to make a choice to forgive. Yes, church, it's a choice. Don't allow the enemy to trick you and convince you that you do not have a choice, that which was done to you will never be forgiven, because that is a lie of the enemy. I have heard many testimonies where people have had the courage to say, "I forgive you for what that person has done." So don't allow the enemy to trick you into believing that you cannot forgive that person. He will try and attempt to convince you that if you forgive them, then you're letting them off scot-free. But that's not what you're saying. You're saying, "I forgive so that my heart may be free, so that this heavy millstone will no longer capture my heart." So, as we close this morning, is there another way? As Christ follows, set apart, separate, can we say to offence, "None taken"? Can we say to sin, "I'm not taking that one on"? So, four steps for you this morning as we close. The first step is this. Forgive. That involves making a conscious decision, a conscious choice to say, I'm not going to live with this offence on my heart. I am going to release it into the mighty hands of God. I'm going to lay it down at the cross, and I'm going to allow Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to lift this heavy weight from my heart and break me free from this stronghold. The second step to living free is to release that person or persons that have done you wrong and harm also into the hands of God. Hand over what they did to you. Hand over what they said to you and pray for them. Yes, I said it. Pray for them. The Bible tells us to pray for your enemies. Jesus said, but I tell you, not just pray for them, it says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The best way to go over offence is smother your offender in love. Smother them in love. Smother them in prayer. Praise, and as you praise, release them into God's hands. The third step is this. And I've had to learn this one hard. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2. Let your words be few. Stop talking about it. Stop dwelling and retelling the same hurtful story over and over and over again. Cut the poisonous root off and don't allow it to grow. Stop talking about it and stop talking to other people about it. Let it go means let it go. And fourth and finally, I will end with the verse that we began with. I will end with the verse that Pastor Hugh began our year with from Ephesians. It says, we, as a church, as brothers and sisters, as individuals, can we say, we will make every effort to keep ourselves united in the Spirit, binding ourselves together with peace. If we follow those four steps, we will be led to freedom. Forgive. Pray for your enemies. Let your words be few. Stop talking about it. Cut it off. And finally, make every effort for peace. And then you will be led to freedom. Let's just pray. Let's just ponder what the Lord has been speaking to us this morning. Put your Bibles, your notepads down. Just take a moment in your seat just now. You may want to just open up your palms to receive from God. You're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you, then this is your time. This is your time to respond to Him, to open up your heart now to God and respond to what He has been speaking to you this morning through the power of His Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We love your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Almighty God, for your word, which is life to us. We thank you, Lord, that it brings healing. And this morning, as we sit at your feet, Master, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you that you took to that cross, Jesus, so that we may be reconciled to our Father, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be free. So, Father, for those of us in our congregation this morning that have been offended, that have been hurt, that have been betrayed by words, physically, emotionally, Lord Jesus, we bring before you now in our own hearts that hurt. Just give it to God in your heart today. I give you this pain, Lord. You know what it is, name it. I give you this pain. I give you this heart, Lord. I release it into your mighty hands, Almighty God. Help me, Father, to release that person or persons that have done you harm, that have done you wrong. Father, help us to forgive. Yes. Father, take away this pain. Take away the memories that haunt us so that we can no longer dwell and retell the same story, but instead, Lord, be completely free from it today, now in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as your followers, as your disciples, as your children, help us, Almighty God, to make every effort to live in your love and in your peace. And all God's peace. Amen. Amen. I'd like to welcome